From the Land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of June, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. We're just a week away now from the acreage and the grain stocks reports. Those are due out on the 30th of the month. A bit later in the program, we'll hear from agricultural weather forecaster Eric Snodgrass of Agrible about what's happening across the United States, the planet, and the transition from June to July and how that's going to play out in terms of heat or maybe just in terms of temperature. Along the way, we'll also check in on the agricultural news for the afternoon on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon. Michael Zuzlow now joins us from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good Friday to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
You know, I don't know if anybody believes it's really a good Friday or not, Todd.
I know. It's been a tough week in the marketplace, so let's not start with the grains, but with the cattle on feed numbers as they were released. What they look like today?
A little bit negative, I think. You know, it'll be interesting to see how we handle the 40-week moving average in the feeders at about 139.25. We came close to testing that pre-report. Haven't been below that moving average since April. So that's the number I'm going to be watching next week, given that on feed 103%, a bit above the average trade guess within the range. Placements, probably the biggest number, 112%. That's going to be a 2.12 million head placement. Average trade guess was 110. Top number was 114. Marketings did come in and help some because it came in at 109 for May. That was above the average a little bit, and the top end was 111. So it looks pretty supportive for the fat cattle and the marketings, but tougher for the feeders given the placements and the on-feed numbers. I wonder if the Northern Plains liquidation pressure that we've been reading a lot about this past 30 days didn't impact us some because the heavyweight cattle, the 900-pound plus steers, came in at 17% ahead of last year.
This would be because of the dry conditions in the plain states, parts of the Dakotas, Montana, and those areas?
Yeah, and they don't break down the Dakotas. They just say other states if you're not in Kansas, Texas, and Nebraska. So it's a little bit harder to see. And in addition, the 600 to 699 weights came in up 29%, whereas the standard feeder size of 700 to 799 came in below the average trade guess at about 110%. So that's why I'm wondering. I'll try and dig more into that next week.
I would like you to dig into some other numbers for me. Let's start with wheat, because this wheat-corn spread is fairly wide at this point. I'm wondering what harvest looks like and whether there will be very much pressure from the crop. Is it good, bad, medium? We had a lot of problems with it to begin with.
Yeah, you know, the Commodity Week program we did a week ago, and I was traveling out in Kansas and eastern Colorado with the idea that the yields would not be as good. I think that's borne out pretty well. The corn market has not borne out at all compared to what I had expected, given the wheat support. I mean, we're talking about a Minneapolis price or a spring wheat price back at 2014, 2016 levels now. As you say, the wheat corn spread's over a dollar a bushel, highest since April of last year. The wheat associates are putting out daily Kansas wheat updates, and they're coming in as expected. Western Kansas and Goodland, as a matter of fact, saw about a 10 or 15 cent basis jump just today in hard red wheat. I don't think the yields are there. I think the market is seeing that, but they really are not reflecting that in the soft red wheat as far as flat price. They're doing it in the spread, but not in the soft red. But going into the acreage and stocks report, I think wheat is probably the brightest light of support. And I think with the dollar spread between soft red and corn and the fact that you're well out of the feed category in wheat, it should be a very strong supporting feature, a lot more than it was this past week.
Is it propping up the marketplace at the moment, or will it in the future?
I don't think it was. I think this week, if I had to lay out this week and what went against the analysis, the corn market clearly saw Mother Nature give some relief to about 80% of the corn belt. So the technicals started to unwind, and I think crude oil really did a lot of damage to us just because of the fact that we were hitting 10-month lows in crude oil. And that seemed to really wake up the corn market shorts. And the six-month correlation between the crude oil and the Bloomberg Grain Index, to give you an idea, is at the almost the highest it's been in 2017. So there is a really strong positive relationship between some of these indexes and the crude oil market. But then kind of the, I think the thing that sealed the deal today and why the beans were able to actually find support and the bean corn spread really came around hard is because we did see some private trade guesses come out when it came to the acreage report next week, and they only took corn acres down on the Bloomberg estimates, 120,000 acres, beans up 380,000 acres. So not much change at all versus March. Sorry, I forgot to turn the phones down, Todd.
Oh, I was just, I was listening to you and then listening to those phones in the background and thinking, hey, are we in the middle of pledge drive? Because if they want to call, it's the end of our fiscal year and we have till June 30th to get all the money in the bank. I'll go ahead and make a pitch. If you listen to this program, you can always call us at 217-244-9455 and make a pledge of financial support. We do use your money a year ahead of time. So what's in the bank on June 30th is all we have to use for next year. That's how I mean a year ahead of time. So I appreciate those phones actually ringing in the background.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I didn't realize it was your pledge drive, but I've had two separate conversations in the past 2 weeks with Will Radio listeners and talking about how they enjoy the commentary, not just mine, but everybody's, and that they really don't miss a show. And it's really something in today's world of all the different platforms you have. You just have an unbelievably quality program, and we really want to keep that going. So please contribute, and that'll keep us on the air.
Hey, thanks so much. It's just the end of the year where we always have pledge sort of running along. We don't really have one happening, but at the end of the year, we're always kind of on the push for everything to be in the bank. So if you can call 217-244-9455, if you listen online, there's a donate button on the webpage at willag.org. Okay, soybeans, where do we stand today? It was a rough day on Thursday.
It was, and I tell you, the soybeans look so good, it makes me think that the corn has limited downside at this point, and these acreage numbers that I was trying to put out to you about not being changed much versus the March USDA numbers make me think that you have a lot of discount in the corn and maybe quite a bit of premium in the beans. So given the Brazilian currency, given these acreage numbers, I do think beans have still a premium, even though they are down into 2016 territory as far as new crop prices. So I'm kind of torn on the beans. I've told clients for both corn and beans between now and July 4th, I'm going to stick with what we talked about on Commodity Week, even though the technicals are really torn up after this week. I'm not going to make sales, cash-related sales especially, in a hole like this. I'm going to give this market a chance to perform better between now and next week and then also on the three-day holiday with the idea that the wheat has met my objectives and with the idea that the crude oil is being punished and maybe it'll stop being punished by the time we get to the end of June. But make no mistake, the harder that Brazilian currency goes down, the roughness of the Chinese pork industry right now, the talk this week about the backup of boats in some key provinces in China's ports, those are things that we have to keep in the back of our minds. And I probably, if I had it to do all over again, if I had 960 November beans, I probably would have done a little bit more selling had it not been for what I was looking for in the corn and the wheat market this week.
You're not the only one. Hey, thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
You bet, Todd. Thank you.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting from Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. Check us out online, willag.org. WILLAG.ORG. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. Thanks for being with us, Eric. What do you see in the short term?
Well, Todd, the big feature for today is going to be the interaction of a cold front that's been sliding through the northern plains and how it interacts with the remnants of Tropical Storm Cindy. You know, Cindy made landfall just the other day on Thursday, and the big plume of moisture that came in on the right side of Cindy is now pushing into the Ohio River Valley and also the lower Mississippi River Valley. We had storms in the morning, basically coming through Illinois, coming through parts of Indiana and Michigan, all the way back actually toward Missouri. And those two features are going to work together to basically enhance the lift in the atmosphere over the Ohio River Valley. So we're going to expect quite a bit of precipitation across that region. And why I'm concerned about this is that flooding at this time of year can still cause quite a bit of problems, especially with issues with nitrogen in the corn crops. So we have to be keeping a lookout on that. Now, the big thing is after that leaves, we're going to be cooling down pretty substantially. We're going to see temperatures, you know, getting back into the 70s for several days here as this kind of larger trough feature in the jet stream really occupies a lot of the eastern half of the country. Now, it's from there that I really want to kind of discuss what the longer range forecast looks like. You see, we've been talking on, you know, on this show for the last couple of weeks about the potential for some heat at the end of June and beginning of July. Some of the long range forecast models, specifically the GFS model, has been kind of hinting at the development of a ridge. But it's been keeping that ridge farther and farther west with each new model run. And by keeping it west, that keeps the eastern half of the Corn Belt, actually most of the Corn Belt, in a much more favorable configuration for temperatures and precipitation. So we have been getting quite a bit of precipitation recently, and this has been fantastic for this young crop. And at the same time, we're going to see some cooler temperatures here in this last week of June. Now, with that next ridge setting up farther and farther to the west, that's actually going to be very favorable for temperatures at the beginning of July. And we've seen over the last couple of model runs, you know, a continuation of this kind of very active and overall cooler pattern. The long-range European model forecast, which just came out a few days ago, suggests that maybe through the first couple of weeks of July, we favor a cooler pattern over a warmer pattern. Now, the question becomes is when is the corn going to pollinate this year? You see, normally about this time, I feel like the corn is generally a lot taller, maybe closer to its pollination than it is in 2017. And I do think that unlike maybe the last few years where it's been the first 2 weeks of July that have been most crucial for corn pollination with respect to temperature stress, we got to watch the whole month. So I think we're going to have some late pollinating corn across the United States, which means while the first few weeks of July may favor overall a cooler pattern, especially the first week, if we have any heat stress toward the end of the month, that could really impact corn as well. So we got to watch the whole month. But overall, I think we're going to have some decent weather in terms of corn and its you know, when it gets into its reproductive stages here over the next, call it 15 days. Won't be that every day is going to be cooler than average, but I think that's our overall favored pattern. And that is certainly a break from what I was calling for about a week ago. The models have really calmed down on bringing in that heat toward the end of this month and beginning of July. And real quick, I want to turn my attention globally. I was kind of been looking a lot over the last several days at kind of the global drought monitor and also looking at longer range forecasts in other big growing regions across the world. And I know on your show this has been talked about, but I just want to bring it up again. You know, right now some global pressures include drought in northeastern China where they grow a lot of grain. Also, we have some spotty drought across parts of Europe that is impacting wheat there, but it's also going to impact corn and soybeans that are grown north of the Black Sea in the Ukraine. And that forecast for July in those regions also looks to be unfavorable with hot and dry conditions that are expected there. So this may put some pressure on the global markets, and that may help help the U.S. Market kind of rebound, even though we're going to be seeing some decent weather around here. So, there's a lot to talk about and a lot to be watching, but, you know, overall the picture is not that negative for the beginning of July, at least for U.S. corn. So those are the big things that I'm kind of on the lookout for in the coming days.
Hey, thanks, Eric. Eric Snodgrass is with Agribull. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Have a good weekend.